We continue. This is Zach Gilb Show Coast on CBS Sports Radio, hour number four, quattro of our radio program. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. Time to update you on the biggest stories of the day with some audio. Let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Another day and another time that we have no clue how to hit the quarterback in the NFL anymore. I don't want to get myself caught up in any controversy, which is ridiculous that it's a controversy, like Troy Aikman. So I'll just say, no one knows how to hit the quarterback, and maybe we should just put flags on the quarterback. Because what Grady Jarrett did on Sunday, there's no other way that you should hit Tom Brady. And what happened last night with Chris Jones, that one's more egregious than the Brady one, and the Brady one was super duper egregious. Because Chris Jones, from behind, tackled Derek Carr, the ball pops out, the ball is right underneath Chris Jones' belly. He grabs it and then tries to avoid Derek Carr. I don't know, Ryan. I've seen a lot of football, and maybe it's a heightened awareness because of the Tua injury. And you can't avoid the Tua concussion. You can't avoid a quarterback tearing their ACL. You can put them in spots where they get hit less. But when it comes to a simple tackle, these are textbook tackles. So if you're going to have a heightened awareness now the last week or two because the league's getting blasted because they allowed Tua back on the field and then allowed him to play on that Thursday night game, all right, maybe the refs are getting told you got to protect the quarterback a little bit more. But it's not because the quarterback wasn't protected enough in terms of the way that he got hit as to why he got injured. The reason why the injury got worse is because you allowed him to get back on the field. And if you don't believe me, ask the NFLPA. They already said we had to get rid of the independent doctor. And then somehow he's allowed to play 4 days later. So it doesn't make sense to me. And yeah, the NFL, right? Their bread is buttered by the quarterback position. So I get protecting the quarterback. But to this level, it makes no sense to me, Ryan.
Especially to think about what they're asking defensive players to do.
Not tackle.
Just tackle
in the ribs.
And basically hit a target area that is like basically feels like the size of a quarter. And all the quarterbacks now that are either, you know, elite in the league or coming into the league young are mobile, fast, and big. Like, you're really going to tell a defensive lineman you can only hit Josh Allen a certain way. If you don't, you're either going to get flagged, or if you hit him softly, he's just going to break the tackle and keep running. Then you're going to tell a coach, why'd you tackle? Coach, I did tackle. They didn't blow the whistle. Like, what? You can't win.
You have large 300-pound men that actually move quicker than what you would think they would move with their size. And they are chasing down. That is the goal. You are chasing down the quarterback. And you have quarterbacks, even guys like Brady and Carr, who are more traditional pocket passing quarterbacks that still know how to move around the pocket. And you're asking those guys, the linemen, to only hit a specific area. And then you get guys like, let's say, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, the more mobile quarterbacks, that can juke, and a guy could be intending to go hit a guy in the ribs, and then he goes a little bit higher because the other guy is shifting his position. You just got to use common sense here.
Penalties in the NFL are when a player does something you're not supposed to do, right? Holding. You're not taught to hold.
Yeah,
you
obviously
flag when your technique slips and you hold.
That was, by the way, my favorite speech. Always the offensive line coach when you play high school football. This is where you're supposed to jam him. You're supposed to jam them in the boobs. That's what you're supposed to do. I can't say what the person actually said on the radio. I don't think I would have my job anymore. But he'd be like, you jam them right there.
Jeez.
You don't go outside. You jam them inside. That's always the way that the speech would go.
You're, like you just mentioned, you're taught a certain way, and if you do it wrong, you get flagged.
Yep.
For Chris Jones yesterday.
Did nothing wrong.
How are you, like, what are you teaching them to do? Like, in that situation, when you come from behind, you get the football, what is he supposed to
do? I'll tell
you.
You go up to the quarterback, you play patty cake with the quarterback, and you tell the quarterback while playing patty cake, hey, I'm about to take you down, but since I'm not allowed to take you down,
just, I'm going to give you a pillow, put your head on the pillow. I'll get you some milk. I'll get you some cookies. And then I will feed you from a distance of 4 feet away, the milk and the cookies, just so I make no contact on you.
Are quarterbacks supposed to do the Brett Favre fake fall down when Michael Strahan's coming around?
Exactly. That's what's going to
just fall down.
Mm-hmm. Chris Jones says roughing the passer penalties need to be reviewable.
I think now to evolve, roughing the passer and protecting the quarterback is essentially what we're doing in this league. We got to be able to look at roughing the passers in the booth because it's happening so fast. Maybe we can change that because now it's getting absurd. You know what I'm saying? Now it's causing teams games. You know, that was a fourth down stop on Grady Jarrett. That team would have got the ball back and you know, who knows what would have happened. But for them not to be able to look at that, you know, when you sit on videos, you know, you can, you know, and faster, when it's faster and you're on the field and happen that fast, you know, the ref, they might see something different. But when they're able to, like, look at the video and see that it's not roughing the passers, a lot of these roughing the passers would be called back.
I would agree with them. I think it should be reviewable. I think there's no harm in having some checks and balances in place. I just don't know how many of them would be called back. Because you remember the whole debacle between the Saints and the Rams. Then they made pass interference reviewable. And a lot of those calls that were obvious no pass interference did not get overturned because the league's trying to save the refs until it was a crucial spot. So that's the only thing. I would be more than fine. I think it's a great suggestion to put it in place. I just don't know how effective it will be. But if you get into a big playoff game where there's some bull crap roughing the passer, in a spot like that, you would hope that the league does the right thing. So I think it's worth it, Ryan. I really do.
I don't, just because of what you said. Like, it's a judgment call, so now you're asking the referee to either judge his own intent, because I think most of the times the head referee is also the one in the area that usually throws the rough in the passer call, or you get to judge another, you know, one of your fellow referees' judgment.
Okay.
Those are one of those that never work out.
So maybe in week 14 of the regular season, they don't overturn it. But let's just say AFC Championship game, 3rd and 8, and the fourth quarter with 6:25 to go. It's Kansas City and Buffalo. Back to drop is Josh Allen. Josh Allen throws the football. It's incomplete. Flag, roughing the passer on Chris Jones. Clearly not roughing the passer. It's officiated like last night. I would at least in that spot like to have it reviewable compared to not even having the option for the league to double down and make themselves look like a bozo once again. I would at least like to have that option there for the league to save themselves and not ruin the outcome of the game.
You know what we need on that kind of note? We need a common sense ref. So, like, someone in the booth like me and you just sits there and goes, okay, what do we do? Like, because they said technically he landed on his body weight, which I guess technically yesterday, sure, it's impossible not to. That's just a weak call. But if you're having a referee or another head referee going back and forth, I don't... you need someone just who's removed from the situation to basically be like, we're not doing this.
They should have me and you sit in the booth. We get to review roughing the passer or any controversial penalties. They don't even need to pay us. Just get us lunch, get us dinner, get us some booze, and we could sit back, and I think we would be more effective than maybe some of these referees in the National Football League.
One of the better ideas you've had. I love it. I'm in.
All right, maybe we'll take a salary. Like a modest salary. I mean, we don't have to overpay.
Well, like these TV refs that get paid $1 million a year. You don't have to,
they don't even need $1 million. Like, I'll take $1 million. You'll give Hickey like $25 an hour.
All right, I'll take it. I'm in. Sold.
Well, have my agent negotiate it. Get Lep Seltzer on the phone. Chris Jones says he doesn't know how to hit the quarterback anymore.
There's no need for an explanation, okay? So when I'm going to go up to him and say, how should I tackle? How should I not roll on him? I'm trying my best. I'm 325 pounds, okay? What do you want me to do? I'm running full speed trying to get the quarterback. I hit the ball. What you want me to do? I brace my hands.
Is that him saying, hey, I'm actually 340, but I have a weight incentive clause in my contract, so I need to be 325? Or is that the Chiefs list me at 325, but I'm actually 340? I wonder what that is.
Maybe a weight incentive.
Andy Reid is confused as to why Chris Jones was called for roughing the passer. That makes all of us, Coach.
I thought he had the ball, so I mean that's what I thought. But that's their job, so they do that.
That's Andy Reid saying I have to make some comment in a negative way towards the officials, but I don't want to get fined. If you're Andy Reid, though, with all the money that you have. And I know he has the respect and trust of that locker room. Don't you just go, and you won last night, so maybe it's different if you lose. But don't you just go ballistic on the Zebras? Because then maybe down the road, people remember, oh, Andy freaked out about that. Yeah, he got screwed. So then a big spot, maybe the officials remember it and don't call it against Andy because everyone loves Andy Reid. I think I go berserk. If I'm an official, or excuse me, if I'm the coach last night, you be the member of the media, hot day, Kiki, and you pretend like I'm Andy Reid, and I'll give you my answer on that.
Zach, what was your thoughts on the roughing the passer calling Chris Jones?
It's complete and utter bull bleep. It's terrible. It's awful. It's horrendous. I have no clue how else. I've been around football for 40 years. I have no clue how else you're supposed to hit the quarterback. Chris Jones did nothing wrong. The league should be ashamed of themselves. This happened on Sunday. It happened on Monday. Even if this happened the other way, where you just look at the situation and another team got penalized. Like, it just doesn't make all around. It's a terrible look for the league. So screw the officials and screw the NFL. Terrible job.
You know what I think we need more in the NFL? We need more baseball manager ejections. Like, just meltdowns.
Yeah.
Like, Andy Reid throwing his head, like, on the field. Forget throwing it down. Throw it on the field. Go over to the ball boy. Take a few footballs. Throw them on the field. Maybe, you know what? Maybe go over to Derek Carr and show the rest how you're, you know, how the tackle went. Like, tackle Derek Carr. And say, this is what Chris Jones... I think we need a full explosion.
It's funny. Two things in sports that we see that we very rarely see in any other sports. Managers getting ejected, like you said. Like in the NBA, you may get a double technical here and there. But I can't remember the last time an NFL coach got ejected from a game.
Neither can I.
And then also fights in hockey. Any other sport, you fight, you're kicked out of the game. NFL, you throw punches, out. Major League Baseball, you throw a punch, out. NBA, you throw a punch, you get suspended for the season. Oh, unless if you punch your own teammate.
That's true.
But when it comes to hockey, they encourage fighting.
Good way to get it. Maybe that's why players aren't punching their own teammates. They're well behaved.
Now, I have no clue what you just said because I think you're looking at the same thing that I'm looking at. Is that why you hesitated there for a second? You watch the baseball?
I do have the baseball on.
I thought that was a home run.
I hit the top of the wall.
Hit the top of the wall and then came back in?
Josh Johnson was cruising. Like, he was pimping the home run, and then got thrown out at first.
They're going to review that, obviously. So we'll see if that's going to be a home run for the Yankees. If they do, I don't think there was anyone on, so they would take, what, a 2-1 lead if that's gone?
If it's gone, 2-1 lead.
Okay.
If not, that's an out.
Anyway, where were you? Andy Reid says, despite Travis Kelce scoring 4 TDs, it was a total team effort on offense.
He had 25 yards and 4 touchdowns, so, I mean, that's a pretty good day, but kind of a weird number. Marquez had some big plays for us. Juju, Sky stepped up at the end, had some big catch and runs for us. El Grady stepping in and doing a nice job at the guard spot for us. So all in all, it was just, it was probably a tale of halves. We played a lot better the second half.
Now, real quickly, I'm watching this replay. If it is a home run, not only do they get a 2-1 lead, but if it's not a home run, Josh Donaldson, as the ball then fell back into play, got caught in no man's land in between first and second base. He was thrown out at first base. So that would be one of the longest outs I've ever seen.
I think he's out. That would like defy geometry, but it just came straight down.
I got to see. Here we go.
Top of the fence.
Oh, did that hit that fan's hands?
I don't think so.
Oh, this is tough. Where's Jeffrey Meyer?
Yeah.
You need sure hands there.
Yeah, that clips
but the
top of the wall.
Wow. That hits the tippy top of the wall. And this is great. You have all now these New Yorkers. The ball hit here. You see the mark? The ball hit here. You think these guys are getting ejected, one of these guys? If they made contact with the ball, interfering with the...
No, I don't think. I don't think they did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he thought it was a home run.
Yeah.
He was
celebrating.
The first base coach even slapped his hand. And he then started turning the base, and then there you go. It's a long explanation.
Yeah, he's out.
He's out. So they said that it was not a home run, and then he's out at first. Oh, my God.
That's what a turn of emotions.
All right, let's get back to the news brief. Josh McDaniels. So his team scores a touchdown. Devontae Adams, it makes it 30-29. You think, okay, just easily kick the extra point. He elected to go for 2. Here's the coach.
felt like in that situation, you know, we hadn't, you know, we hadn't really, they had kind of had a lot of momentum offensively, obviously, in the second half. Just, you know, we had a play that we felt really good about. We thought we would get a look that gave us a shot at it for sure. We had a chance. We had a fair fight at it. You know, they played it a little bit better than we did and gave ourselves an opportunity to take the lead there.
I don't like the call. I know that every single person is going to tell me, hey, or not every person, because I think it is split. But there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, oh, I like the aggressiveness with 4:30 to go in the game, tie up the game. They ended up getting a stop, and then their offense failed them on that 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1, and they ended up losing the game. I'd rather be tied instead of losing the game in that spot. But, hey, that's just me. Devontae Adams did shove a camera guy after the game. This is Devontae Adams sort of giving an apology to the camera guy.
Before I answer anything else, I want to apologize to the guy. I've seen some guy running off the field, and he ran. He jumped in front of me. We coming off the field, and I bumped into him and kind of pushed him, and then he ended up on the ground. So I want to say sorry to him for that, because that was just frustration mixed with him running and literally just running in front of me. And that was, shouldn't have responded that way, but that's how I initially responded. So I want to apologize to him for that.
Let's just be real. You were frustrated. You were annoyed that your team lost. You used to winning with the Green Bay Packers, and you shoved the cameraman. Terrible move, awful move. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, he needs to be suspended. I don't think he needs to be suspended. I would just fine him. That would be me. Sean Payton on if the Carolina Panthers are an attractive head coaching job. This is courtesy of The Herd.
I think it's attractive, and it's almost a unicorn. The open job with a great quarterback waiting for you to come in and be the foster parent. Generally speaking, it's somewhat broken. And you brought up something that I thought was really important, the timing of function versus dysfunction. And oftentimes, the better quarterbacks are going to dysfunction.
That sounds as if Sean Payton knows he has to say it's an attractive job because he would know what the headline would be. Sean Payton saying the Panthers attractive job is not a juicy headline. Him saying the Carolina Panthers are a bad job or a non-attractive job, unattractive job, that's a sexy headline. I think he said a lot in his words after saying it's an attractive job, because remember, there's all this talk you only could go someplace where the quarterback position is solidified. And you look at a spot that he just left in New Orleans. He left once pretty much a year after Drew Brees left. And you had all that uncertainty with Jameis Winston. And then, you know, Jameis got hurt. And then it was like, okay, you know, this is not going to work. I just got to leave. With him talking about the uncertainty about the quarterback and how it's a unicorn to just go to a spot where the quarterback's there, I think that's Sean saying, yeah, thanks, but no thanks, Carolina. Am I wrong on that?
Not at all. Especially, look, I love Baker Mayfield, but
he stinks.
What are we talking about? What are we doing?
We have to make him like 2 feet higher. 2 inches, baby.
The biggest quarterback in NFL history.
2 feet would be a little bit
7'4", Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Maybe you should wear implants. Get those orthotics going. Jerry Jones on what will lead Dak Prescott to returning onto the field is courtesy of 105.3 The Fan.
He's got to spin the ball. He's got to really spin the ball. And they just think about it. Put your hand down on something like would be the equivalent of a football. Try to do that without thumb strength. Try to spin that ball. Try to direct that ball without thumb strength if you're really giving a proper throw. Can't do it. But if you do have strength and can grip the ball, then you can spin the ball. Unlike most injuries that you have to have a feel, you have to develop ability to see if the quickness is there, what's the degree of quickness back if you were didn't have an injury, all of that seems pretty simple to detect. Can he zip the ball out there and make the throw?
I kind of wish that Jerry Jones just went Belichick there when he's ready, when he can hold the football, he'll play. I'm not a doctor, but when he's ready, okay, that's it.
Day to day.
At least, like, Belichick is more clear in that stuff than Jerry Jones is when he just talks for 45 seconds in a bunch of circles. That makes no sense to me. Really doesn't. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
I'm ready to make a prediction change. when it comes to the NFL season. NFC West. I think the 49ers are going to win the division. I look at that division right now. Seahawks 2-3. The Seahawks defense stinks. Eventually, Geno Smith is going to come back down to earth. The Cardinals, I know that they're getting DeAndre Hopkins back soon. Right? One more week without him. One more game without him. They're 2-3. They've weathered the storm, I guess you could say. I just don't trust right now in their careers Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray in a big spot. The Rams, their offensive line is horrendous. And their offense right now is all Cooper Kupp. You look at the 49ers, they're not sexy. They're not great. Their defense is phenomenal. And offensively, they do just enough. As long as Jimmy G can stay healthy and protect the football with some of the weapons that he has at his disposal, that's a team that, when it may just be the survival of the fittest in the NFC West, because I don't think there's a great team right now in the NFC West. I think that the 49ers, as long as the quarterback stays healthy, are going to win the NFC West. Are you ready to go there, hot take Hickey? The leader of the Rams bandwagon a year ago, one of the few people to say the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl. And you stayed confident with that. Anytime they looked like they were about to crash and burn, you said, no, Rams are going to be fine. Are you ready to say the 49ers are going to win the division?
Not yet. Here's why. I want to see more consistency from Jimmy G. It's basically, for the most part, been a roller coaster.
But he
good
wins
start,
games.
Bad start.
I don't
good
love
start. Bad start.
I don't love Jimmy G, but he wins games.
He does.
He's consistent there.
I still think he needs to play well for this team to continue to win games. And I know things look. Like, I am concerned about the Rams. I'm not going to pretend here and say it's all, you know,
their
roses
offensive line sucks.
And candy. It's very bad. And the run game is non-existent. They can't keep Matthew Stafford upright. I think he's already banged up as it is. You're right. I will give them a little bit more time to figure it out before I write them off as dead for the NFC West.
11 wins won that division last year, if memory serves me right. Right? It was a tiebreaker.
I thought the Rams were 12-5. I'll double check, but it's either 12-5 or 11-6.
The Rams and Cardinals had the same record. So the Rams and Cardinals had the same record, and the Rams ended up getting that home playoff game. They ended up winning the division. I can't see right now, with the way that the Rams are playing, the Rams getting to 11 wins. And they, yeah, do you have the record?
12-5.
Oh, they were.
For the
so
Rams,
both teams had
Cardinals
12 wins.
Had 11 wins. They were 11-6.
Oh, really? Why did I think that was a tiebreaker?
12-11-10. Rams, Cardinals, 49ers. Those are the number of wins last
gotcha.
Year.
Gotcha. But you look at the Rams, like, they have the Panthers this weekend. If they lose to the Panthers, man, that team sucks. Yeah, after that, have the San Francisco 49ers, Tampa Bay, Arizona, New Orleans, Kansas City. Then they wrap up the year, Seattle, Las Vegas, Green Bay, Denver, Los Angeles, and Seattle. Is that team, right, with 11, do you think 11's the magic number this year? In that division, I feel like if you win 11 games in the division, you should be able to win that division this year.
I think 11's a good number. I could see 10.
10 may win it.
But I would definitely say if you get to 11 this year, you're feeling extremely good about your chances.
Now, for the 49ers, their schedule does pick up. The 49ers, though, let's see how many wins we give them. Do a little win-loss here. 49ers play the Falcons this week.
Win.
So there you go. That would put them at 4 wins on the season because they're currently 3-2. They play the Chiefs in week 7.
I'll go loss.
I would agree. They play the Rams in week 8.
Gotta say win. They've owned them.
Yeah.
I mean,
Jimmy G's never lost to them in the regular season.
They eventually do, but I don't see how that's changing in 2 weeks.
So that's 5 wins right there. Then they have a bye week. Off the bye week, they play the Chargers. Now, offensively, I would think that the Chargers offense will put up more points than the 49ers offense, but that defense for the 49ers is that good where I could see Herbert having a mistake or two in that game.
That defense is elite for the 49ers. I think I'm going to lean San Francisco there, to be honest.
So that would be six wins at the Cardinals, week 11, Monday Night Football.
I'll trust the Cardinals. That's a win.
So seven, Saints.
Win.
Eight, Miami.
Where's that game?
That game is in Santa Clara.
I will say, that's tough. I'll go win.
So they already have, three wins. You said Atlanta's win, that's four. You said the Rams win, that's five. You said the Chargers win, that's six. You said the Cardinals win, that's seven. That would be, oh, yeah, the Saints, eight. That would be nine wins already. Through week 13. They play the Bucs in week 14.
Loss.
They play the Seahawks in week 15.
Should be a win.
10, Commanders, week 16.
Oh, that's definitely a win.
Carson Wentz, nine picks.
Yeah, I'll have lost that. Over.
So that's already 11. They play the Raiders week 17 and the Cardinals week 18. Like, even if we say you have them lose to the Chargers and maybe they cough one up against the Dolphins, that team should win the division. And it's not that I'm picking them because I believe in them a ton and I think they're this great football team. But when all those teams in the NFC West have warts right now, I think the 49ers just could be the most consistent. And you know, in this league, I hate to sound so cliche because I hate doing radio like that. The game is built and won in the trenches. 49ers are the best built in the trenches on both sides of the ball in that division. Defensively, they're great. And that offensive line, even without Trent Williams, and Trent Williams eventually come back, you think, has been a very good offensive line for the last few years. The Rams' offensive line only has one returner, Rob Havenstein, from the Super Bowl team a year ago, has not only regressed, they have fallen flat on their face. And you don't have a mobile quarterback in Matthew Stafford. Cooper Kupp is their only, like, if I'm playing the Rams, I'm saying, all right, let Cooper Kupp get his yards. Because as great as Cooper Kupp is he going to beat you single-handedly week in and week out? It's tough when you have no line and the quarterback is prone to make some mistakes. And I can't trust Cliff Kingsbury in a big spot. And the Seahawks, the defense is horrible. And am I really going to hitch my wagon to Geno Smith? No. So after 5 weeks, going into 6 weeks, and I was down with the 49ers before this year because I just didn't know what to expect from Trey Lance, but Trey Lance being on the bench, I'm taking the 49ers to win that division. You're still going with the Rams, though? Is that your pick still?
I'm sticking with the Rams.
You don't sound confident about that. I'm sticking with the Rams. I'm not holding
a
hostage.
I think they got to turn it around soon. Like, I'm not giving them a lot of time, much more time here. Okay. I'm trying to be, you know, a patient fan, non too reactionary. Time's ticking.
Marco, who you going in the NFC West now?
I would take the Niners. I think the Rams are still kind of in that hungover from last year. They're beat up. They're old. I think it's kind of catch up to them.
I don't know if I just got more intelligent as I've gotten older, but I feel like Marco and I would used to battle on the weekend overnights. Like, when you're in the week, I feel like we used to have some heated debates in the newsroom, and now I feel like we agree on a lot of things.
I don't really remember the heated debates, so.
I remember one. There was one.
Okay.
It was me, you, and Horowitz. We're having a conversation about something about the Giants and the Patriots are brought into it.
Okay.
And you go, well, you're a Patriot fan, right? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, and I just remember Mark goes, well, then I can't value your opinion on that. And I was actually kind of pissed off about it. I'm like, what, because I'm a Patriot fan? I can't have an opinion?
I feel like there's got to be more to this story. I feel like you're leaving out some intricate details in this. I don't remember this.
I try to forget the weekend overnight days, so I don't actually remember.
Got to know where you come from.
All the specifics.
I want to say that strikes me as the only reason I would say something like that. That would be something where it's knowing pain. Like, as a Patriot fan, you don't know pain.
But I don't think it was a pain conversation.
It had to be something like that. I can't imagine it would just be I would dismiss your opinion on something. That's not usually my MO.
Yeah, the only reason why I don't think it was about pain was because, like, this Ben Horowitz, I know the Giants are in a rough stretch, but he won two Super Bowls in his lifetime.
Fair, but the Giants have had some. I mean, look, as a Patriot fan, I mean, this is the leanest you've ever seen, correct?
Yeah. They missed the playoffs after winning the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 36. Not a big deal.
Right.
I had to survive Cam Newton. You know, tough times.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
hold on, Marco. They lost Wild Card Weekend.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, in that regard, I could see myself saying, like, yeah, no, I'm sorry. You get dismissed in there.
Yeah.
But anything else, no. That's not usually the way I go about this.
I don't even think you knew this. For like about a month, I was down on Marco. I was like, I can't have an opinion. Like, I'm the host of this show, and I'm not allowed to have an opinion? And I was ready to, I was
that's
mad.
Fine. I didn't realize we were about to throw down in the newsroom. I don't remember this at all, to be fair.
I was like, more like F. Marco Belletti, not a fan.
All right.
And now every time I go to Marco in agreement, and I love you. 855-212-4CBS. Real quickly, Jay in Dallas, next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Jay, go ahead.
Hey, Zach, how's it going? Just a few things really quick. The first thing, I've always wondered, how'd you get the Backstreet Boys to start in your intro? The second thing is with the Cowboys. What do the Cowboys need to do to get the victory over the Eagles? And then last thing really quick is I'm in the belief, and I don't know if you agree with me or not, that if Dak does come back, it's disaster for the Cowboys. I mean, he's always had trouble throwing that dig route. And now that he has the thumb issue, I mean, it's going to be even worse in my opinion.
Here's the thing. So, you don't have to rush him back. And thanks for the phone call, Jay. You don't have to rush him back, but he is an upgrade over Cooper Rush. He's done a very good job not only weathering the storm, it feels like he's defeated the storm, if that makes any sense. I don't think the Cowboys, they're in a Super Bowl contending conversation this year because the NFC's not that strong. They have a really good defense. They can run the football. I just think Dak's a very good quarterback, not a great quarterback. Can you win with that? Yeah, I guess. But I do think eventually in the postseason, the Cowboys aren't going to have a great performance. They're going to lose, and everyone's going to freak out. And we're going to forget about this team starting 4-1. But I'm not operating under the belief that this team, that there's a quarterback controversy, and they need to start Cooper Rush, and that Dak's in jeopardy of losing his job. Now, to beat the Eagles, they start off really quick. So you have to match them quick. But you just got to make that a one-score game in the fourth quarter. Because the Eagles were able to pull it out last week. They do not score a lot of points in the fourth quarter this year. I think the Eagles are the more talented team. This may be the week that you wish you had Dak Prescott because I just don't think the Cowboys offense is going to keep up with the intensity of this Eagles offense. But that defense is a great defense for Dallas. And finally, the way that I got the Backstreet Boys to do the intro that we play each and every day back at 940, I was interviewing them at Radio Row, and I said, I would love you guys to record Zach is back all right, and they were kind enough to record it. So it was that simple. You have a little creative thought. You have a willing party, willing to help you out. And that's the way that we got the introduction. And that was in Atlanta for Super Bowl 53.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Wrapping up shop, it is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let me get to our poll question tonight, just to give you the final poll calculations here. Who misses who more? Is it Devontae Adams or Aaron Rodgers? My answer earlier was Devontae Adams, because even though Rodgers is clearly frustrated, we know Devontae Adams is as well. He just shoved the man last night. That did nothing wrong. I have to go with Devontae Adams here because Rodgers will make the playoffs. The Packers will win the playoffs. We'll see if they still win the NFC North. I would still lean yes. Minnesota's 4-1, but they don't feel like a 4-1 team. But Green Bay's also 3-2. They don't feel like a 3-2 team. It feels like it should be both teams should be worse. So we know that Minnesota already beat Green Bay once this year. They do play again, obviously, being in that division. But the Packers, bare minimum, are going to win 10 games. They're going to make the playoffs. The Raiders at 1-4, seems like their season's cooked. And they're not going to make the playoffs. So Rodgers has time to develop this chemistry to get ready in a weak NFC in the postseason because he'll be there. What is Devontae Adams getting ready for the rest of the season? And that's a guy that's used to playoffs, and playing deep into the postseason, even though they didn't get to a Super Bowl. But being in conference championship games, he's not even going to come close to sniffing that with this version of the Las Vegas Raiders. So that's why I go Devontae Adams. But 56.3% say Aaron Rodgers, 43.7% go Devontae Adams on who misses who more between Rodgers and Adams. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let me go to Mark in California. Yankees up 4-1 against the Guardians, and we do have Dodgers and Padres about to get underway. Go ahead, Mark.
What's going on? So I came on and I heard you say that the Cowboys are a Super Bowl contender in a weak NFC. No, they're not. If you expect the Rams to be under 500, for the rest of the season, the 49ers, even Arizona. I really don't.
Well, Mark, let me just ask you this. Give me your top five teams then, because if you're a top five team, you should be a Super Bowl contender.
Giants are 4-1, and we're definitely.
And the Giants lost to the Cowboys.
Giants lost to the Cowboys, right? I mean, Eagles don't scare me, in my honest opinion. That Arizona game was clearly.
Did they win the game?
They did not. You're right. But hey, Giants have 4 wins as well.
Okay.
So in the last couple of years, we would have lost that. So I think.
So what? You don't think people are. Wait, hold on, Mark. Like, I've given a lot of praise to the Giants. You could also give praise to the Cowboys. The Cowboys have a great defense.
I mean,
this NFC. The Cowboys have a great defense. They're playing with no Dak Prescott. I never, ever praise the Dallas Cowboys. I call them the drama Dallas choking Cowboys, but they're a top five team in the NFC.
I think Dak Prescott's the most overrated quarterback in the National Football League. I mean, he is overrated beyond anything. I've never seen a quarterback get paid all this money and throw for like 250 yards, no touchdowns.
But hold on.
It's ridiculous.
The guy's a very good quarterback, Mark. He's not great, but he's very good.
Daniel Jones is serviceable this year. He's not great.
Oh, what is up with your – you rather have Daniel Jones over Dak Prescott?
Would you have Mac Jones?
Over
Mac
who?
Mac Jones or Dak Prescott.
I'd rather have Dak Prescott.
Oh, what? No, man.
That's coming from a Patriot fan. But Mac has to prove more. Right. Can he get on the field first?
I know. I think 49ers are better.
Are you drinking right now, Mark, because of the Yankees game?
Listen, man, Cleveland's not going to win one game. They ain't going to win one game against us. I mean, everyone was sitting here saying Cleveland's better, blah, blah, blah. All the talk of, you know, Cleveland in 5, Yanks ain't doing nothing. Remember, they don't hit home runs. And, I mean, we're a Iser, Kiner, Falefa error away from really not even scoring a run, being up 4-0. But still, I want to see Houston. I want it to be Houston, the Yankees. Remember, you got to be the best to beat the best.
And you guys have not beat them.
We have not, and that's why I think this year might be a little different.
Oh,
the thing
stop.
About it is, if Judge and Rizzo, fantastic. I mean, what a great player he has been. I mean, just every year it's 32, hitting up clutch in the playoffs. I think everyone's talking about our bullpen not coming through. You know, the Yankee pitching. I think Cole pitched great today.
Mark, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm a New York guy. I'm from New York. That's too much New York for me, even on a national show like this. Now. How many times are you going to mention the Giants? And then, hey, the Yankees, we know they're the second-best team in the AL. But until they take down the Astros, I'm not going to believe that they're going to take down the Astros. Let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
4 touchdowns last night for Travis Kelce. Give him a stock up. You know, give him another one. And another one. And another one. Travis Kelce. In the game last night, had the 4 touchdowns, 7 receptions for 25 yards. Maybe the most bizarre stat line that you will ever see. Let's hear Yordan Alvarez walk it off, a 3-run home run. The Astros were trailing in this game to the Mariners, 7-3 at one point, and they find a way to win it 8-7 on this walk-off, courtesy of Robert Ford and the Astros Radio Network.
The 0-1. And Alvarez belts it deep to right field. Houston goodbye. Unbelievable. The Astros a walk-off win. Yordan Alvarez, a walk-off 3-run homer. And the Astros stun the Mariners in game 1 of the division series.
Stock up to Yordan Alvarez. Castellanos getting ripped a lot in Philly this year, and deservedly so. Well, he ripped a 2-run single today to make it 6-1 in the 4th. Here's Scott Fransky on the Phillies Radio Network.
Chavez set at the belt. He kicks the pitch. Swung on, line to left. That's a base hit out of the reach of Swanson. One run is home. Here comes Hoskins home. He will score. And Nick Castellanos with his 3rd hit of the game. He's driven in 2 more, and the Phillies lead it 6-1.
Castellanos in that contest, as you heard, 3 RBIs, had 3 hits. Phillies just hold on. Braves put up 3 in the 9th, but the Fightins win 7-6. They take down the Braves in game 1. Stock up to Nick Castellanos. Ben Simmons shot a basketball. Now, it wasn't even close. It was wide left, but at least he shot it. Stock up, Ben Simmons. Stock down to the analytics that McDaniels and Andy Reid were losing last night. They lost me with their analytics. And finally, roughing the passer. What Chris Jones and Grady Jarrett were called for is an absolute disgrace. And the NFL should be embarrassed. Stock down. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to all the callers. You can always follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you do that. At Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. You can also go to our podcast. Make sure that you like it and you subscribe to it and you rate it. And we'll be back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio. JR coming up next. Enjoy all the sports tonight. Talk manana, everybody. Bye-bye. Thank you. Peace.